Well, good morning, everybody. How y'all doing today? Well, I'm so excited to be here. As Pastor Jeremy was saying, my name's Jared, and I have come here all the way from the city of champions, as they call it, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Any Steeler fans in the house? One. Yes, represent. Okay. We just got the Penguins, got their Stanley Cup as well. Look, everywhere you go, Pittsburgh fans are maligned because they do just what I do. They think that they own every place. So I'm so excited to be with you today, all the way from Pittsburgh. This is a beautiful part of the country. New York City and its metro area has a special place in my heart. I grew up in the Baltimore, Washington area. Primarily, and just living there, I've traveled to New York frequently, love the city. I'll be honest with you, actually, I've never been to the suburbs, so this is my first experience with that. I'm actually going to be here until tomorrow, so I'll be able to see a little bit of this local area as well, but it's beautiful here. Just love this area, so I'm grateful to be here. I have been married to my beautiful wife, Heather, who we're celebrating our 15th anniversary coming up this December. Yeah, very excited. Couldn't do life without her. I'm so grateful that God has gifted me with her. And I have two beautiful children. I'm only 35, okay? So I've started really young. My daughter is 13. Her name's Autumn. She's actually turning 14 this month. And my son Lincoln is 9, and he's turning 10 in September. So I'm 35, but I'm somewhat seasoned, which is actually really, really cool. Because I have a lot of people in our church who are around my age who have small kids, and it's neat for me to be at their same age relevance-wise, but to be able to share maybe some insights a few years down the road to them. So it's really cool. Today, I believe that I have a message that is actually very timely. It's interesting what Pastor Jeremy was just teaching this morning, just briefly with all that's been going on. This message, has been written a little while ago, and it's so cool to see how God just orchestrates things. He sees way down the path. I want you guys to know that today, first of all, that it's important for us to understand that God sees so much more than we could ever see, and that he cares deeply about everything that's happening. But even though in the moment, right now, it feels like whatever's going on a national scale, on a global scale, but even in our own lives, whatever's going on with our relationships or our friendships or our marriages or job or finances, whatever's happening, it feels like the world might be ending, right? Sometimes it feels like you're about to get crushed underneath of a rock slide. But the reality is that God sees down the road, around the bend, down into the valley, up on the other side of the mountain, into other places. He is well aware of everything that's happening. And this message today, even though it was written before the events that took place this week, as I was sitting in that chair just a minute ago, I thought, wow, look how God knew what was going to be happening and what was needing to be said today. So the title of today's message is Fresh Start and All Fixed Up. Have you ever felt like you just wish that you could start over? You ever wish that you could just say, hey, can I just push the Staples easy button, and just kind of like be done with this whole thing and start over and have a fresh beginning and wipe the slate clean? I believe with all my heart that God gives us the ability to do that. First and foremost, I mean, we're not celebrating Easter right now, but why as Christians do we exist? It is because of Jesus Christ, right? It is because he has given us new life, because his death on the cross paid for our sins. We sang that song this morning that the precious blood of Jesus gives us wholeness and forgiveness. But the resurrection of Jesus is so important because, and I think oftentimes we forget about it. We think about his death and the forgiveness, but the resurrection of Jesus is where it's at. Because when he came back to life, that same power that rose Jesus from the grave gives us the same life and ability and power in our life to restore everything in our life. And that's what I want to talk about today, is this idea of restoration. You see that our soul is not the only thing that God cares about. He cares about the rest of us as well. How many of you ever watched Sesame Street growing up as a kid? Let me see your hands. Sesame Street. I love Sesame Street. In fact, when I grew up as a kid, my parents would, Saturday mornings particularly, as a young boy, I would get up way too early. How many parents know what I'm talking about? Your kids get up way too early in the morning. Then if your kids are young, your best friend sometimes can be a television. So what would happen is in the morning, I would get up, my mom would go downstairs, and she would turn on the TV, and this was back in the day when they didn't really have cable. So we turn it on to PBS, and the only thing that was on was Sesame Street. Well, Sesame Street is one of my favorite things, and one of my favorite parts of Sesame Street, if you remember, is they have like a word of the day or a letter of the day, right, where they would just kind of weave it in, right? Well, today's word of the day is restoration. Restoration is our word of the day, okay? One of my favorites, the count. Restoration is the word of the day. So all throughout this message today, as we think about a fresh start, as we think about being all fixed up, I want you to think of this word, restoration. I live in a community called Lawrenceville, which is one of the boroughs in Pittsburgh. So New York has 5 boroughs. Pittsburgh has 85. What? And one of them is Lawrenceville. Lawrenceville used to be one of the worst neighborhoods in Pittsburgh. It was 15 years ago, was crime-ridden, prostitution, drug rings, all of that, right? About 5-10 years ago, Children's Hospital was built on the hill in Lawrenceville, and the community has seen a complete renovation and restoration. It's one of those things that you see everywhere. We understand the word of restoration. We watch shows on TV, like HGTV particularly. How many of you ever heard of the show called Fixer Upper with Chip and Joanna Gaines? Very popular. If you men in the room, you know it because your wives, your girlfriends watch this show. Not to overgeneralize. I'm sure there are some gentlemen who like it as well. Actually, I find myself watching Property Brothers pretty often. But the point is that we understand this concept of restoration, taking something that was old, something that's broken, something that's run down, and restoring it, fixing it, making it something new. In fact, my father-in-law, his name is Manly. Can you believe that? Manly. His name is James Manly League. But you know what? His name fits perfectly because he is just that. He fixes everything. If you think of what a guy is supposed to be like in terms of like the American concept of a man, it's a guy who just kind of rolls his sleeves up and does his thing. Well, this is what he does. Manly League, they bought a house in Covington, Kentucky, which is a suburb of Cincinnati where they live. And they bought this house that was in a pretty rough part of a neighborhood, and they took it and they have completely restored the whole house. And he didn't know how to do any of this. In fact, his name, this is incredible to me. I know nothing. I grew up in the city. I don't know how to fix a thing, okay? All I know how to do is pick up a phone and call somebody. So what he did, and I asked him, how'd you learn all this stuff? You know what he did? He went out and bought an encyclopedia set of how to fix things and read them from cover to cover, 9 volumes, and learned to fix everything. And so he's fixed their house. He's torn down walls. He's put up new walls and redid the whole kitchen, everything. This is the concept of restoration. There is something special about taking something broken, taking something destroyed or damaged that appears as though it is beyond repair, beyond use, and giving it life again and giving it purpose again. And let me tell you something. This is God's specialty. This is what God is known for. This is what he is best at. This is what he loves to do the most. All throughout Scripture, we see pictures of God taking something that was lost, something that was destroyed or damaged or seems impossible, and completely restored it and made it something new again. And I want to tell you today that he wants to do the same thing in your life today. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever you and as I said that, I believe there are flashes in your mind. You think this thing, as soon as I said, I believe that God wants to do that in your life, something in your mind just popped up and said, this thing is, it's just, I don't know how it's possible. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe some of you right now are going through a relationship issue, or maybe your finances or your credit. Maybe you're about to get evicted from your home, or perhaps it's a relationship with a child or a job situation, or maybe it's just an identity issue. It's something that's deep inside of you that's been rooted throughout your life. I don't know what it is, but I believe that God can speak to it. I believe that he can restore it. He can fix it. He can repair it, and he can give you purpose again today. Why do I think that? Well, let's read in Revelation chapter 21. And again, I told you that I just know that God's up to something because Pastor Jeremy referenced this verse today. If you have a Bible, open it to Revelation. It's the very end of the book, okay? It's chapter, verse, page 4201, whatever it is in the Bible. Revelation chapter 21. If you have a smartphone, maybe a tablet, open it up, turn on your screens. I want to see the glow of the screen on your face if you have one of those. And it's also going to be behind me on the screen. This is Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 5. And this is what it says. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. Verse 3, I heard a loud shout from the throne, and I love this. Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. And this is beautiful, verse 4. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death. There will be no more sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." What an incredible passage of scripture. This wonderful picture of a time to come. Of a time to come. But if we know anything about God, it is that when he speaks something into the future, the process begins very early on. All the time throughout scripture, particularly in the New Testament, we see Jesus over and over again talking about what was coming, but it was already here at the same time. And this was from the last book of the Bible. And it's a promise of what is ultimately to come for us. But God is promising that he is restoring all things. He is in the business of restoring all things. He is committed to fixing broken things. And so in my messages, I like to have what I call a big idea, kind of a main thing. So if you forget everything I said, except that I'm from Pittsburgh, then this is what I want you to remember. And is that a fresh start triggers healing and restoration. A fresh start with God triggers healing and restoration. This is the pattern that we see all throughout Scripture. Anytime you meet Jesus, immediately following is the process that begins healing and restoration in your life. God refuses to let you sit and be the same. He refuses to let you live in a life of brokenness, of being unable to be used. He is in the business of encouraging and restoring you and giving you purpose. A fresh start triggers healing and restoration. And the Easter resurrection story is so powerful because that's what it signals. It signals, look what I did to my son, the one who was crucified and beaten and dead and destroyed. Look what I did to him. And now watch me do the same for you. It's a beautiful story. And as we allow his resurrection power to give us new life inside of us and the connection to our Creator, when we give him influence in our life, this is important to understand. Because it's not just enough to raise your hand and say, I like Jesus. Okay? After that, you have to now give him influence in your life to change you and allow him to shape us. And when he does that, he gives you purpose. And when he gives you purpose, that same power then begins to spill over into the rest of your life. And you will begin to see healing and restoration in them. I kind of outlined a process of what this looks like on the screen, I believe, behind me. This is what it looks like. When we find Jesus, we can't just stop. If you want the healing, you want the restoration, you want your marriage to be restored, you want your relationship with your kids, your finance, all these things to get better, I hear you. But it starts with a relationship with Jesus. You have to be restored internally first. And once that happens, you have to then give him influence in your life. And once you do, you begin to find purpose. He begins to show you things and direct you to things. And when you do that, that power spills through the rest of you and outside into your circumstance. You understand? This is the pattern that we see through Scripture. God wants to give each one of us a fresh start, and he can and he will bring restoration. So the question really then becomes, what does that look like in my life? What does it look like? Okay, Jared, tell me what this restoration looks like. Well, I thought of three just kind of quick thoughts that I wanted to run you through today of what a restored life looks like. And the first is spiritually. Spiritually. This is where it all begins. In our lives, we can come to this place of where prior to Jesus, we are disconnected. We are completely lost. We're like walking through a forest that's filled with fog. You have no way of knowing where you're going. If anybody who remembers what it was like before you met Jesus understands, wow, like I had no idea all the voices that were telling me to go everywhere. And imagine for a second, I mean, the Bible says anyone who doesn't have a relationship with their Creator is blind, right? Spiritually blind. So that's the concept of imagine now you're in the middle of a forest, a crowded forest of trees, and you can't see anything. And you hear a voice from MSNBC telling you to go over here, and you have a voice from People Magazine over here, and a voice from Facebook over here, and Instagram here, and Slate over here, and what all the different voices everywhere telling you to go different places. What's going to happen? You're going to run into some trees. You're going to get hit right in the face with things. Life hurts, right? This is what happens to us. But when we get connected to our Creator, the one who created life, who designed all things, that's when we find restoration for our soul. Until then, he can't fix the rest of our lives. He can't give us purpose in life. He can't fix our marriages and our relationships. Why? Because it would be like a bull in a china shop. You have to, I mean, imagine for a second, God says, he says, I've fixed your marriage and I've fixed your children's relationship and I've fixed your finances, but you're still broken and destroyed on the inside. You still have old habits and your soul is disconnected from me and you still have values that are not appropriate for how I've created life. What are you going to do? You're just going to destroy those things again. That's why it's so important for us to understand that on the first step, we have to know Jesus, because Jesus is the physical manifestation of who God is. You want to know what God is like? Talk to Jesus. He will show you everything. Jesus is the physical manifestation of the creator of the universe. He knows you personally, and he changes us spiritually. And when we do that, we find peace. Our soul, peace in our soul, that even when things happen like they happened this week, even when you're up against the wall financially, even when your marriage is having problems, even when you're not sure of who you are, when you know who you are in Jesus, there's a peace that transcends all of it. You have purpose in life and you find power to live. When you're made restored spiritually, we find freedom from oppression and evil influence in our lives. The restoring of our mind and our heart, and then that begins to influence everything else. It starts in the soul. But a restored life is more than just a spiritual restoration. He's also in the business of restoring relationships. This is probably my favorite part because it's tangible, right? We all understand this. As we center ourselves with Jesus, once we find that new life in Jesus, and that's why you guys are here, right? You're all here because you've experienced something. You want to come back every week because you want more of it. And you can begin to have this in your own personal life as you read the words of Jesus in Scripture and you spend time in prayer and allowing him to change you. And then once we do, as we begin to center ourselves on Jesus, that resurrection power flows into us and it changes us first. This is incredibly important for you to understand. If we want our relationships to be restored, you have to allow Jesus to change you first. Because most of the time, our problem is that what we often do is that we look at our problem with our kids, or we look at our problem with our spouse or our significant other, we look at our problem with our job or whatever the situation is, and we go, if only they would do this thing. I'm frustrated with them and with him or her or this situation. And it may be true. It may be mostly true. But we all know that every relationship and every conflict that takes place is always a two-way street, that there is never one person fully to blame. But even let's just say that the majority of the situation is that person's fault. When we allow Jesus to change us and change our heart, something that you thought was impossible, that there was just this, there's a chasm between you and this other person and your relationship, whatever it is, something happens when you allow Jesus to change you. He changes your heart. He changes the way you see them. He changes the way that you care about them. You begin to pray about them, pray for their situation, pray for the situation with each other. And what happens is that it begins to, something happens from their perspective. God uses the change that happens in you to say, something's different there. He rewrites the script. Because the way that things would go without Christ changing your life and the process of it is the relationship will continue to get wider and wider and wider. More often than not, that's what happens in broken relationships. They just get more and more broken over time. But when you allow Jesus to change you on the inside, to change the way you view people, the way that you forgive people, the way that you respond in situations, as you do that, somehow, supernaturally, the other person on the other side sees what happens. His spirit works inside of them, and miraculously, we don't know how it happens all the time, but somehow God chooses and uses your obedience to build a bridge that restores relationships. I'm telling you, I have seen it so many times that relationships seem broken. They seem completely unfixable. People who've never spoken to their mom or their kids for years, situations that are just terrible, and that person gets right with Jesus. They find and make it a priority to know him. And out of the blue, you get a phone call from that person you haven't talked to in 3 years. How does that happen? Jesus. That's how it happens. Supernaturally, we serve a God who is the creator of the universe. He is not natural. Would it not make sense that his ways would be beyond natural as well? Somehow, when we allow God to change us first, it then begins to influence other people in our marriage, with our children, with our coworkers, with our neighbors. As we are changed, God's power begins to restore our relationships. Somebody in this room today is struggling with a relationship, and I believe this message is for you. And this week particularly, we are struggling with this idea of what Pastor Jeremy was talking about. There is so much relationally that is wrong in our nation. Some of you may have felt the sting of racism even recently, perhaps personally. And as a white individual, it's difficult for me to put my shoes in an individual's life that I don't understand. But here's the thing. As I've been thinking this week, as I've been praying and I've been trying to think, how can I lead my church? How can I respond on social media? How can I lead within my community with the small amount of influence that God has given me? And I think this part of the message is so critical because it's about relationships. I can't, at this moment, change a nation's viewpoint. I can't change the way people think, and neither can you. God has given me X amount of influence, and he's given each one of us, make no mistake, each one of us have been given a certain amount of influence, whether it be a small portion in your family or maybe in a job situation. I've been given a bit more because I lead a church. You understand what I'm talking about? Every one of us has some. And the way that God brings restoration most often is through relationships. So whoever you know in your life, I believe this is a word, this is not planned. Whatever you have in your life, we each have a responsibility to allow God's restoration to work relationally through us with the people that we know. If you know an individual who is struggling with this issue, come alongside of them, as Pastor Jeremy had mentioned. Allow the Spirit of God to change your heart first. And I think you know what I'm talking about, this idea of when you get on Facebook and you see posts from certain individuals or certain streams or channels, you know what I'm talking about. You feel there's a defensiveness sometimes that rises up on whichever side. You know what I'm talking about. I know you don't know me and I don't really know you. I'm just trying to be as authentic as I can be to what I feel like God is putting in my heart. And I just feel like we all need to understand that the way that things change is for each one of us to come alongside relationally with people that maybe we don't understand. But you can't necessarily do it with people that you don't know. So the place that we should all start is within our own circle of influence. Think about it. I thought about this with my brother. I was thinking he and I were talking about, this was a month or two ago when we were starting to think about some issues. God's been opening my eyes to this idea of racism and all these things that are happening. And I started thinking, where would I even begin? And you know what I thought? My first thought was, and I'm just being completely honest with you, it's like, I don't know any people of color, really. I live in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh is primarily white. And then just like a lot of stereotypical places in the urban centers is where you tend to find a lot of black people. But even within those spaces, I live inside the city, but it's very segmented. I think you guys understand what I'm talking about. This is just sort of the way our country is. And I started thinking about it. I was telling my brother, where would I even go? How would I? And you know what I found? I started thinking about all the people going down to some mental Rolodex in my mind of the people that I know. And I could think of three or four individuals or people of color that I know that I just haven't connected to, who know who I am. I know who they are. We have spoken. We have been at things together. We just don't ever do anything together. But they are within my circle of influence because I know who they are and they know who I am. And now I have a responsibility to do something about it because they're within my space. And so when we go back to this concept of the word of restoration today, particularly this week, I believe this specifically is just kind of a tangent, but is a critical piece of what God is trying to say to each of us today, is that if God, his desire is for each of us to have restoration in our lives, he also desires the same in our nation and in our communities. And so as followers of Jesus, we also have a responsibility to carry that restoration to other people. As Pastor Jeremy again said, ministers of reconciliation. I cannot be a Martin Luther King Jr. standing up until God gives me a platform to speak to thousands. But in this morning, I'm speaking to 100. And each of you have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 people who you can influence, people of color, people who are of different colors. If you're black, meet with your white brothers and sisters. Meet with your Hispanic brothers and sisters. Get to know people, because you know what happens? Instead of just a blurred face, they become people. And when they become people, they become stories. And when they become stories, you cannot hate them. It's incredible. And God brings restoration in every area of our life, particularly relationally, when we allow him to change us first. And there's this principle. There's a principle in Scripture that I believe is so important, and we see it all throughout Scripture, and you've heard it. It's called, you reap what you sow. You guys are familiar with this? You reap what you sow. We see it all throughout Scripture. And here's what I would say to you, is that if you sow God's principles of love, of reconciliation, of caring for people, of serving people, you will reap restoration in your life. If you want to see your marriages fixed, if you want to see your finances get better, you want to see your kids do better, you want to see your relationships restored, you want to see a job that you've been praying for, you want to see all of those things, sow into what God thinks is important. I mean, we hear it in Scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added to you. We forget about that. But if you align yourself with God's principles, if you say, Father, I will go where you have told me to go. I will live my life in such a way that is pleasing to you. I will align myself with the principles that you have set out the universe to be operated under, how I should treat people, how I should live my life, what priorities my life should operate under. What begins to happen is his power begins to flow inside of your life and outside of it, and he begins to restore. Because wherever God is, things are healed. That's just the way it is. All right, I'm going to move on for this spot. Finally, one of the things that's really cool that I just love about this is restoration not only takes place spiritually within our hearts, not only does it take place relationally, which is probably one of the most important pieces for us because we need our relationships desperately to be healed, but one of the things that's beautiful is that it also happens to us is physically. Did you know that in the Bible, there are 140 verses about healing? Did you know that? 140 verses and 41 occurrences of Jesus healing in the New Testament, particularly, and many times it would say he healed all the sick. So even though one of those 41 times he healed one person, then it would say, and then later he healed everybody. I mean, we see it over and over and over again. Again, throughout Scripture, these streams, these patterns, right? And one of them is healing, physically, our bodies. And we are actually instructed to pray for physical healing and to have faith that God desires for us to be physically healed. How do I know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. James chapter 5, verses 13 and 15. Are any of you suffering hardships, he says, you should pray. Are any of you happy, you should sing praises. Are any of you sick, you should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. Again, we see the death and the resurrection of Jesus is where all of this begins. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, the famous verse says, by his stripes we are healed, right? So God is sovereign. God knows what's up, and he knows what's best for us. And sometimes we pray for other people to be healed of something, and it doesn't happen right away. Other times we see miraculous stories that take place. My kids, I have taught them to pray. All week long, I've been struggling with a backache. I blew out my back a week ago, went to the doctor, and they said it was a back sprain of some kind. I have literally been laying on a couch or a bed for a week just with ice and muscle relaxers and stuff. Every day, my son Lincoln comes over and prays for me, puts his hand on my stomach and just, Jesus, will you make daddy's back better? Amen. Like, it's beautiful. And, you know, I see sometimes he asks me, I see him every day, he asks me, Dad, is your back better? There's an expectancy, right? When you pray, what does it say? In faith, the prayer in faith will make you well. So there is a, I'm going to pray for you because you're sick, and then you should ask them, hey, do you feel any better? Like immediately, because that's a faith prayer. But every day, my son comes to me, he says, Dad, is your back better? Because I know what he wants. I know what he wants. He wants to know that his prayer did something, right? And I understand that it's difficult for us, particularly for a child, to understand that sometimes I pray and it doesn't seem like anything's happening, but it doesn't stop us from being commanded that we should be praying for each other, because there are times where it does happen. There have been times where I have been sick or I've had a fever or my wife has been sick and I've prayed for her or my kids have prayed and somehow like an hour later, everything is better. I mean, have any of you ever experienced any kind of situation? Let me see your hand. It just, not even like those crazy ones. Yeah, all over the room. Because God is supernatural, and he commands us to pray for the sick. So one of the ways that we are restored in our lives is through physical bodies. You don't have to live with back pain for the rest of your life necessarily. You don't have to sit with this cold for the rest of your life. You don't have to deal with these things. If you get a disease, God forbid, something like cancer or something, pray for each other. Because I have seen people go into remission or be cured of cancer because people have prayed for them. I'm just telling you. I think oftentimes, and this is kind of one of those areas, I'm not some weird woohoo kind of preacher that's like one of those weirdo guys. I'm not. But I would not be obedient to the Spirit of God if I didn't tell you that one of the areas of a restored life, of being having a fresh start in your life, is that God cares about our physical bodies right here, right now on earth. He does not wait for us to die and, oh, I get to have a perfect body in heaven. No, right now, he cares about our souls. He cares about our relationships, and he cares about our bodies. And it all starts with a relationship with Jesus. If our worship team would come back up. God's desire is that we would find healing in every aspect of our life. Why? It's not because he's like, if you do this, I'm going to do this. God, no. God, that's just who he is. That's his MO. That's his DNA. God is in the business of creation. That's who he is. So anytime you encounter the God who created, that's all that happens. I mean, so you ever seen like those horror movies when like some demon rolls by and like the flowers go, you know? The opposite of that is when God walks by, you see things bloom. And that's what happens in your life. The closer you are to Jesus, the closer you are into a relationship with God, the more his presence fills your life. The resurrection power of who he is has the ability to change your relationships, to change your spirit, to change your identity, to change everything about you. If you feel like you're addicted, if you're held down, you feel like you don't know who you are, that you have labels all over you because of what people or the world has said to you, whatever your parents did to you as a kid, whatever has happened to you in your life, and whatever's going on right now, being next to the creator of the universe changes everything. It's incredible what God does in our lives if we allow him to change us. In faith and through the power of the resurrection of Jesus, we can receive a fresh start in our souls, in our relationships, and in our bodies. And so I want to challenge you today with this. I like to close my messages with a challenge, an action step. And that would be to step into a restored life through faith. Step into a restored life through faith. You cannot experience the things that God has for you if you don't step out and say, I'll take a chance on it. Maybe there's somebody in the room right now who's saying, I don't even know if I think that this Jesus guy was legit or real or anything. It takes faith. Maybe you say, wow, you know, Jared, I really like what you had to say because I've got some problems in my relationships. Man, my marriage could use some work right now. Oh my gosh, my kids, like, or my finance, whatever it is. And you're saying, but I don't know what I think about this Jesus, about this God thing. I've been to churches in my life and I've been kind of screwed over by people or pastors have hurt me. Whatever it is, wherever you are right now, that's why it takes faith. I'm telling you, what I'm saying to you is from experience. I have seen God restore my life. I remember as a teenager living brokenness. I grew up in the church and I made stupid decisions in my life. I thought it was over. There were so many times when I was a teenager I wanted to kill myself. I promise you, I'm not making any of this up. And I have seen my life. I've seen what God has done for me. I have seen him work supernaturally. I've seen him use other people. But it all started with me saying, you know what, I don't know where this is going to lead me, but I'm going to at least try and walk with this guy, Jesus. And I have never looked back. It changes everything. Would you stand with me? We're going to close here and pray. With your eyes closed, I'm just going to kind of lay out a couple pieces here and just give you a chance to respond with your hands so we can all pray together as one family. First, I just want to give you the opportunity to take that step of faith. If there is anyone in the room who says, I like everything that you said here today. I want that restoration in my life. I need that healing in my life, but I don't know this Jesus that you keep talking about, but I want to know him because if that's the way to get the healing that I need, then I believe that he is the way to get it. I want you to just lift your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room? Yes. all over the room. Yes, just lift your hand up in just faith and say, I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but I'm going to come after you, Jesus. Yes, put your hands down. I'm going to lead you through just a quick prayer. And this is simple. There's no formula to it. There's no like A plus B equals C. All it is a sign of faith. The Bible tells that we just believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he will give us forgiveness and freedom. So just in your hearts, or if you want to say it out loud, it's up to you. We just say, Jesus, I decide to follow you. I'm sorry for all the ways that I've screwed up my own life. And I come to you. I ask for your forgiveness and that power that rose you from the grave. Give it in my life. Heal me. Restore me. Change me. I will follow you for the rest of my days. Amen. And that's it. The rest of you with your eyes closed, here's what I want to say. A couple things. Identify areas of your brokenness in your life. So right now, we're going to walk through some practical, quick practical steps. Your eyes closed. I believe that God gives us images. The Holy Spirit gives us images. And now for those of you who raised your hand, you are a part of this family now. So now God's Spirit lives inside of you. That's what the Bible says. So you can be a part of this now. God will speak to you and he's going to show you. So right now, just say, God, would you show me the areas of brokenness in my life? Things that need restored. Just from your heart, say that to him. And he's going to start to show you pictures of things that he wants to heal. This is the best part. Pictures like marriages. I see marriages right now, relationships right now in this room that God is pointing a picture and saying, that marriage you thought that was about to end in divorce is coming back from the dead. The kid who's struggling and is on his way to jail, I have a plan for him and I will restore that relationship. Your finances, you can't pay your rent. Your bills are past due. I have a plan for that. Whatever it is, just see it. Grab a hold of it. And now what I want you to do is gather faith. The Bible tells us to stir up faith, to call it up. And I don't know about you, I just have to have images in my mind. So imagine yourself just kind of stirring like a bowl of something. And that bowl is faith, okay? So you're mixing it together and you're saying, Holy Spirit, give me the faith that I don't have. There was a man who came to Jesus and said, help me in my unbelief. If some of you are struggling right now with this idea of believing that something can happen, just cry out to God and say, God, give me faith that I don't even have. I need it. Call up that faith. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to pray and we're going to receive that power in our life in faith. So right now, in your own words, just speak those things, whatever it might be. God, I pray for my marriage, and I have faith that you will restore it in Jesus' name. I pray for my finances, that you will restore them in Jesus' name. It may not happen today, it may not happen tomorrow, but steps will be taken. I will move forward walking with you. I will learn about you. I will stay underneath the beam of your light. And as I do, I trust in faith. I believe in faith that you will restore my life. For those of you who responded in that way, to just lift your hand. Let me see that God has done something in your heart today. Let me see. I want to hear all over the room. God is working in hearts today. Let me close in prayer. Father, we are grateful for what you have done. Thank you that you don't leave us alone. That you don't leave us here in our own self-pity and our own problems, the things that many of us we've caused ourselves. But you are gracious, you are good, you are awesome. Thank you for always welcoming us. And we now gather our faith as a body of believers and we say, heal the relationships in our lives. Heal our situations, heal us physically. And God, heal our nation. Heal the hurting relationships, the broken relationships, the racial divides, the stereotypical divides, all the things, God, and show us how we individually can be a part of the solution in our own circles. We trust you. We walk together with you and are excited to see what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Praise you, Lord Jesus.